This battle between radicals and liberals on the American left has been going on for a long time. Part of it's a generational thing. Young activists have always sneered at their establishment elders, and part of it's political fashion. I mean, do you know anybody who actually wants to be called a liberal? Well, Sean Wilentz does. He's a leading American historian, a proud liberal, and a supporter and reportedly longtime friend of both the Clintons. Steve Paulson asked for his take on the new pink tinge in Democratic politics.
Oh, love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal.
Sean, a lot of people are saying that we are living in a socialist moment right now. Do you think that's true?
No. But I think, look, but I do think that there's been a resurgence of interest in socialism. There's a resurgence of socialist politics. But with the idea that somehow socialism is the wave of the future, either for the country or the Democratic Party, I'm very skeptical.
So obviously there's a big debate about what socialism actually means. And, you know, some people say, right, well, it's just kind of another way to describe the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. But are you saying it's something fundamentally different?
Well, I think that socialism is a history. The socialist movement goes back to the 19th century. You know, Eugene V. Debs was a socialist candidate for president. Norman Thomas was thereafter. And they had a very distinct view of politics, a politics of class struggle, ultimately a politics of revolution, especially in Debs's case, that capitalism was a rotten system, had to be replaced with a system of public ownership, more or less. And that's what socialism, you know, basically was. And in some sense, it still is if it has a coherent definition. But like everything else, you know, the socialist movement, the socialist politics have evolved. They've taken different directions. When the New Deal, as Thomas said, stole everything from the Socialist Party, and they weren't going to carry out the socialist program except on a stretcher. But nevertheless, there was a convergence between liberals, New Deal liberals, and socialists.
Let's jump to the present then, because Bernie Sanders, in his recent presidential campaign, didn't he basically try to reclaim Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal as socialist in nature, more or less along the lines of what he is proposing these days?
Yes, as I say, and as I said in a recent piece, you know, leaving Eugene Debs scratching his head and Franklin Delano laughing somewhere.
Right, because they hated each other, right?
FDR. Well, they didn't hate each other. You know, there was room for compromise there, but they were distinct. The New Deal is not socialism. I mean, the New Deal was established, in fact, to save capitalism from the capitalists. What Senator Sanders did, and it was in a speech at Georgetown, was to basically say that the Democratic Party has given up on its best traditions, the traditions of Franklin Roosevelt, the traditions of New Deal liberalism, and we're now going to reclaim them and call it socialism.
And of course, no one wants to be called a liberal anymore. I mean, progressive is the preferred term now.
Yeah, I may be the only one, in fact, who's willing to be called
you want to reclaim that label, liberal.
Right, it's going to be an uphill fight. But I mean, look, I think we can call ourselves, you know, those of us who are on the left can call ourselves Democrats pretty easily, right? And that's a good enough term for me. The problem gets to be when Democrats start attacking other Democrats for being quote unquote neoliberals. Right? A term that makes very little distinction between, say, Bill Clinton and Augusto Pinochet. Okay? That's a problem. The Democratic Party is, when it's worked, is a diverse party.
But what we are also saying is that these words, these labels matter. Progressive, liberal, socialist, they all have distinct historical meanings, and
correct,
we should respect those differences.
We should respect those differences. And I think that if, you know, people who want to think of themselves as socialists who are really New Deal liberals can come and call themselves Democrats and put the other stuff away, that's great. Same thing with the mainstream of the party, though. And the mainstream of the party needs to understand that there is this perception out there, and it's not without justice, that the party itself had lost touch with what used to be called liberal values. That is to say, the values of, you know, a strong welfare state, of providing all kinds of things for people for the good of the whole that people can't do for themselves.
So to confuse things even more, then you have the democratic socialists, especially, I mean, people tend to point to Sweden and Denmark as the prime examples,
yes,
there, and sort of like, you know, can't we have that in the United States? I mean, where does that fit into this discussion?
Yeah, I think social democracy is on a par with New Deal liberalism. You know, social democrats in Sweden, you know, they would recognize merely the mainstream of the Democratic Party as basically their group. Social democracy is an interesting compromise between capital and labor. I could call myself a social democrat and a liberal. All of these things, all these labels would fit. The point is, for the Democrats to succeed, I think, they have to find a way to converge So that, for example, with the recent election in, you know, in the Bronx and Queens, that's a district which, you know, probably should have a socialist representing it. You know, it's a district that's changed demographically. It's changed politically. She ran a great race. Joe Crowley was a fine Democratic congressman as well from a liberal standpoint. But, you know, times change.
Are you saying socialism failed? I mean, it's not just that it was crushed by the Red Scare and the anti-communist hysteria, but it just it didn't work, and it never worked either in America or anywhere else, and it is never going to work.
Yeah, socialism is a system, as I say, of public ownership. I mean, the textbook definition of it, it didn't work in the United States, except insofar as it has pushed things further to the left. As a kind of pressure group, socialists have had a tremendous effect and a very positive effect in American politics, in my view. But in terms of taking over, building the United States into a socialist country, no.
But that is not what today's socialists say. I mean, if you listen to them, if you listen to the socialist theorists, I mean, they are not calling for government control of the economy. I mean, they recognize the Soviet Union was a disaster, and they would say that there is a place for a market economy. It has to be controlled. I mean, they are essentially anti-capitalist, and they believe that is exploitative. And, you know, and they have a few basic objectives, things like universal basic income, national health insurance, and, you know, and the list goes on. I mean, is that viable, sort of that redefinition of socialism?
Well, if you want to do that, I mean, basically, that's a sort of leftist version of New Deal liberalism. If you're talking about a kind of socialism which is not about the things that socialism has generally been, well, fine. I'm not going to quibble about the words too much, although you ought to be aware that there are plenty of socialists out there who do think that capitalism should be gotten rid of.
So you are a proud liberal. You're here to try to reclaim the mantle of liberalism. So make the case. What does being a liberal mean today?
Being a liberal means basically standing up for all the things that many of the socialists think that should be done. There is one big difference, perhaps, and that has to do with foreign policy, because that very often isn't talked about in the precincts of the left. And foreign policy really is a distinction, I think, between where the left has been, I won't say socialist, but where the left has been and where the mainstream is. And since the Vietnam War and thereafter, the left tends to look at all American involvement abroad as malevolent.
Imperialist.
Imperialist.
We are there to corrupt and dominate that other country.
And that simply isn't true. I mean, you know, without the United States helping to build a world order after World War II that was there to prevent the kind of things that we're seeing rising now throughout Europe, for example, the crazy right-wing movements, there was an entire world order that the United States was helping to lead. Were there imperialist adventures abroad? Absolutely. Our record in Central America, particularly under Reagan, is shameful. But to see the United States' role in the world as being, say, more important than that of Denmark, because we're a bigger country, and because we can do good in the world and have done good in the world, that is something that I think distinguishes us fundamentally.
Okay, so that's one thing on foreign policy. But it seems like there are a few other differences between, I guess, liberals and maybe what we'd call progressives or socialists. Liberals are not inherently hostile to capitalism, are they?
They understand that capitalism has all sorts of crushing problems. FDR was a liberal. That's the kind of liberal I'm talking about. And he understands that capitalism needs regulation, not in order to crush capitalism, but to make it to provide the kind of broad-based prosperity that we actually did see more of in the United States between 1940, say, and 1975, say.
So liberals like capitalism as long as it's strongly regulated.
Correct. They see possibilities for capitalism, which I suppose, you know, hardcore socialists do not. The problem with there is, fine, show me the hardcore socialist program that's worked. You know, people will argue with me about that, but that's the way I see it.
Sean Wilentz is a noted American historian, and he was talking with Steve Paulson.